Please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. The text this morning is verses 17 to 32. The subject this morning has to do with kindness. Would like for you to think about this. Some of you were here when I came almost 17 years ago, and you might remember this, you might not, but one of the things that I have tried to do and wanted very much to have accomplished in the time that I spend here is to have all of us understand and realize that you can believe what's right, you can do what's right, and you can still be kind. Jesus was one, of course, who believed what was right and did what was right. And I'm pretty sure you'd agree with me. He was kind. He was kind to a lot of folks that he got criticized for being kind to. And that word kindness, you'll see as we go through the outline this morning, I will ask you to turn to several different passages with me. That word kindness is found throughout God's Word. And it's a topic or a subject that God, I think, wants us to understand and to practice in our life. So in our text this morning, we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 32. And please notice, if you would, the words of Scripture with me. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word and for all these verses we're going to see this morning that reference that word kindness. I know there's a couple of them that speak of mercy also. God, please speak to our hearts today. Help all of us to realize that you can do what's right, you can believe what's right, you can stand for what's right, and also be kind. Help me as I deliver the message today, Lord. Speak through me, if you would, in Jesus' name. Amen. The word kindness. That word kindness just simply means, by the way, to be gentle, to be tender, and to be compassionate. In order that a person can be kind and have that as a characteristic in their life, I think that person must have kindness become a part of his or her nature. And I think it should be a part of our nature because we're born again, because we're saved, because we have the Spirit of God within us. Some people wonder, and I referenced this already, but some people wonder, can I really believe what is right, stand for what is right, not ever waver from that and still be kind? The answer, of course, is yes. And the very best example of that in all the Bible is the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If there ever was one who believed what was right, stood for what was right, did not ever waver from that, and yet was also kind, it was the Lord Jesus. And he's our pattern as we speak about this topic this morning. In the outline I have for you this morning, there's just two main points. Now, there's other subpoints, of course, but two main thoughts I would like to get across. Number one is kindness and Jesus. And then secondly, kindness and you. So let's talk first of all about kindness and Jesus. If you're aware of this, and you should be if you read your Bible, you would agree with me that Jesus taught kindness to all those who followed him. It was somewhat of a hallmark, I think, of his ministry. I mentioned the word mercy earlier. In Matthew 5:7, the Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." That word mercy or merciful also refers, I think, to kindness, because mercy basically is showing kindness towards someone who really doesn't deserve it. Mercy is what God has extended to each and every one of us who have been saved. We don't deserve to be saved. The whole world needs mercy. The whole world needs kindness. Really, the whole world needs to know the mercy and kindness of God, don't they? And how are they going to find that out? How are they going to see that? Or how are they going to know about that? Friend, I want us to know, all of us this morning, it's going to be through us, we who are born-again Christians. I said I would ask you to look at some scriptures with me, and I'd like to do that here. If you'd go with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse number 10. We will look at other scriptures, by the way. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. And the Bible says this in verses 10 through 13. "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Can you almost see this in your mind's eye? Jesus meeting with publicans and sinners, and can you see the Pharisees on the outside of the house, critical and whispering and murmuring because they didn't think Jesus should be meeting with such people? In reading this, I thought to myself, you know, you'd probably never see the Pharisees sitting down with a bunch of publicans and sinners. But often in the Bible, that's where you see Jesus, don't you? Because he knew what it meant to be merciful. He knew what it meant to extend kindness to others. He mentions here, "I didn't come to call the righteous." By the way, that's a reference back to the Pharisees, those who thought they were righteous and already had it all in order. "I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call those who are spiritually sick. They're the ones that recognize their need, and they're the ones that recognize I'm here to help them." Jesus not only taught kindness to those who followed him, but he also demonstrated kindness to those who followed him. Look with me at another passage real quick, and we're going to go this time to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18 and verse 35. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. It's an honor to look at the life of the Lord Jesus as recorded in the Gospels, and we'll do that some today, and we'll also see some other passages. But starting out here with Jesus, because we're dealing with this first thought, kindness and Jesus. He taught it. He also demonstrated it. In Luke chapter 18, verse 35, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, wonder who's in that multitude. You think Pharisees might be in that multitude? Scribes, lawyers, doctors of the law, common people, average folk, perhaps the disciples and Jesus? Well, we know they're in there for sure because of the record here. But in hearing the multitude pass by, he, this is the blind man, asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him." Wonder who it was that rebuked him. Might it be the Pharisees? Scribes, lawyers, doctors of the law, maybe some of the average folk, maybe even some of the disciples. Most certainly it wasn't Jesus. "And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him." Here again, I'm wondering, who did he ask to bring him? Maybe some of those same folks who looked down upon this blind man and told him to be quiet? Or maybe just the disciples? I don't know for sure. It doesn't say. "And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight." Now that's not too much to ask, is it, from the Son of God? "And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." Please notice the next two words, "and immediately." He received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. None of the disciples were doing that. None of the Pharisees were doing that, or scribes or lawyers. But Jesus did that. He healed this man, and because of that, all the people that saw it glorified God and gave praise unto God. Again, we're talking about kindness in Jesus, and I wanted you to know, first of all, that he taught kindness to those who followed him, and he also demonstrated or lived it before them. All those who followed him saw, not only heard, but saw the Lord Jesus and kindness. The crowds nearby thought Jesus would have no time for this guy. The whole multitude was just passing by. And because this guy was interrupting, you know, as they travel, people talk and they visit with one another. And here's this gentleman, I was going to say idiot, but this gentleman on the side who's interrupting our conversations with his calling out to the Lord Jesus and asking for a miracle. Quiet, just be quiet. We've got other things. I mean, we're visiting with one another. We're visiting with the Messiah. You're interrupting that. Please sit there and just be quiet. And they were all passing by. They had no time. And they thought Jesus would have no time for this man. But friend, Jesus did have time for this man. He stopped and had the man brought to him. And he practiced kindness toward this man and ministered to him. Jesus not only taught kindness and demonstrated kindness throughout his life, and I'm sure you'll remember this, when Jesus hung on the cross, when his life was ebbing away, did he teach and practice kindness? Most certainly he did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then, of course, he's looking out for his mother and make sure John will take care of her. Several examples like that we can see. And I've done it very quickly, but in Jesus' life, It was all characterized by kindness. Kindness for those especially who really did need it. Kindness for those who recognized their need of it. Kindness for those, many of them, that didn't really deserve it. But he was constantly teaching and preaching and practicing kindness throughout his ministry. The disciples got to see that. They got to hear that. You and I have it recorded for us in the Gospels. It would be good for us if we would take a little extra time, rather than just these few minutes that I've given to it, take some time to go through the Gospels and look for that, watch for that, and see that example that Jesus left for us. Which brings me then to my second thought this morning, and that is kindness and you. Jesus has demonstrated kindness for us, beginning, of course, with the cross and salvation, and then all throughout our life. I don't know everyone here, their date of salvation, but I know, of course, about myself, saved in 1973, and during all those years, the Lord has been very, very kind and gracious toward me. He's helped me out and done things for me that I didn't deserve, and he's been very gracious and very kind. Sometimes when I meet up with certain friends that I have, and we'll ask each other, "How you doing?" And many times it's said this way, "Much better than I deserve." But that's because of the kindness of the Lord and his goodness and his grace toward me. Would you go with me to a passage of Scripture, Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Here's a passage. I still have a couple more that we'll look at, but Titus chapter 3 and verse number 4. After the book of 2 Timothy, Titus chapter 3, verse 4. And the Bible says here in verses 4 through 7, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy." See here, kindness and mercy mentioned right close together. "According to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace," there's another great word, "we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Notice again verse 4, "But after that the kindness and love of our Savior, of God our Savior, hath appeared." Jesus has shown his kindness toward you and me. And by the way, we all know this, I'm sure, it's not based upon anything we've done. "Oh no, I could never deserve this. I haven't done anything in my life ever to deserve God's kindness and his goodness and his mercy and his grace that he has showered upon my life. I've not been able to deserve it, and I never will be able to deserve it. But I am very thankful for it." While we don't deserve it, and while we never will, and somebody said this, "There aren't enough good works in a lifetime of service to merit it." That's a good statement. The truth is, we actually have nothing to do with it. Jesus extends his kindness to us freely, without anything on our part. "Well, Pastor, what if I stop going to church? Will he still be kind to me? What if I stop reading my Bible? What if I stop praying? What if I stop giving?" There isn't anything that you did to bring it about. What makes you think he'll ever stop showing his kindness? You know, in the book of James, it talks about the fact that God is good and gracious and kind to all men. To all men. We have a good God. You know that? We have a very gracious and kind and merciful God. And it isn't based on what we do. It's based on who he is. Aren't you glad for that? Anybody here ever mess up?
No.
You just did. And I know you were teasing. But we've all messed up. If we were left to ourselves, we'd make a total mess of our life. Aren't you glad God is kind and merciful and gracious to each and every one of us. He has demonstrated that. He has shown his kindness toward us, beginning with salvation and throughout all of our life. Everything we have, all those good and perfect gifts come down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James says. Here's another passage I'd like you to see. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Working on the outline this week, I was amazed how many times I saw the word kindness or mercy that's mentioned in God's word. Colossians 3, verse 12 says this, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." Now, he's writing to Christians, of course. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church at Colossae, but it's written to Christians. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God," that's us, "holy and beloved," look at this, "bowels of mercies," put this on, "bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, and even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity." Charity is another word for love. Agape, that's the word behind it, the Greek word behind it. "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Kindness has come to us from our Savior, and our Savior then expects us to, did you notice this in verse 12? Put that on. Let me demonstrate. See this, right? My suit coat. Notice, please, I'm putting it on. Oh, let me show you something else. Right now, I have it near me. It's not on me, though. I'm not wearing it. It's near, but I'm not wearing it. Ah, until I put it on. Isn't that what our Lord says about kindness? "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness." Put it on, Christian. Now, let me ask you this. Doesn't that suggest that we don't have it by ourselves? It's, you know, forgive me, but it's not within most of our nature to be kind, especially to those who don't deserve it. Or especially to those who are described a little bit later on. Notice again the passage. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Why would we need long-suffering? "Forbearing one another." Why would we need forbearance? "And forgiving one another." Why would we need forgiveness? "If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." In your lifetime, however old you are, has everybody treated you fairly? Has everybody treated you kindly? Has everybody been gracious to you? Have you ever been walking into a store and someone's in front of you and they open the door, but they don't hold it for you? They let it slam right in your face? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been in your car and you were pulling through a parking lot and somebody quickly pulled in front of you so they could get out first? That happened to me this week. Had I not been watching, we'd have hit each other. Well, truthfully, he'd have hit me. But, you know, have you always been treated well? No. Have you always been treated kindly? No. Has everybody been gracious and kind to you? No. Has there ever been a quarrel between you and someone else? Of course. These things happen. By the way, this is why we need kindness. This is why we need mercies, bowels of mercies, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. This is why we need forbearance and forgiveness. Because people don't always get along. Verse 14 says, "And above all these things," so this is the cherry on the top, "and above all these things, put on charity," that agape kind of love that gives and gives, expecting nothing in return. "Above all these things, put on charity," which is what? The bond of perfectness. Kindness toward others ought to be a characteristic of all of us because we're Christians, because we're born again, because we're saved, 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 as we sang about in the hymns this morning, but also because that's how God treats us. Forgive others, the Bible says, as Christ has forgiven you. We notice that kindness is something we're told to put on. And if our Lord has extended kindness to us, we're encouraged to extend that to others. This very simple thought, what would Jesus do, will help us when we face those times. Kindness. Another passage, please. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This passage is just a little bit longer. By the way, I've just got one more passage I want to show you, and I think we'll get it all in this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul's writing this time to the church at Corinth. And by the second letter, they had a lot of things straightened out that he had written them about in the first book, you know, 1 Corinthians. But notice, if you would, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, we then as workers together with him, you and I working together with God the Father, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Look at this. Giving no offense in anything. Good luck with that. Giving no offense in anything. Here's why. That the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Paul knew what all these were like. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering. Oh, here it is. By kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God. That's important. You're not going to be able to do this without the power of God. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. In other words, there many of Paul and his followers and his men that were with him were looked at as deceivers, but of course they were true men. Verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Kindness, something that ought to characterize our life, our testimony, our ministry, our reputation. No, everyone's not going to treat you fairly. No, everyone's not going to treat you with kindness or mercy or graciousness. But that doesn't give you an excuse to treat them the way they treated you. It's important always that when someone treats us unfairly and unkindly, that we respond with kindness. It's important we learn not to retaliate. It's important that we learn to show kindness even to those who don't deserve it. I admit, it's very hard to do, which is why we need the power of God to help us. And God wouldn't ask us to do it if it wasn't possible. Kindness is something that ought to characterize our life. One more passage. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter, you've got Hebrews and James and then 1 Peter and then 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside all that, I'm sorry, the word all is not there. Beside this, giving all diligence. Let's read that again. Beside this, giving all diligence. In other words, really apply yourself to this. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. There's the cherry on the top again. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Kindness. Jesus has shown kindness toward us. Therefore, it should be a characteristic in our life because we're saved. We have the Spirit of God living within us. It should characterize our life, our testimony, our ministry, our reputation. Kindness will actually, according to this passage, help us to be fruitful. Help us to be fruitful for our Lord Jesus Christ. Here again, we're encouraged, and if you saw it, you noticed it, I'm sure, we're encouraged to add this to our life. In other words, it says to me it's not there on its own. I've got to add it. I've got to make a real conscious effort to add kindness to my life. I'm to give all diligence, really apply myself to this. Having kindness in my life and being kind toward others is going to help me to be a fruitful Christian for my Savior. So we've talked about two things today. Number one, kindness in Jesus. And the main thought there is that he taught it and he lived it. And then secondly, kindness in you. Because the Lord has shown it and demonstrated it to us, we should demonstrate it to others. It should be a characteristic of our life, our testimony, our ministry, our reputation. And if we have it in our life, it'll help us to be fruitful. I want to remind us all again, as I wrap this up this morning, that Jesus taught and practiced kindness toward his followers. And I thought about this verse a lot throughout my working on this outline. Remember the Lord said this, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That would be kindness again. That would be a testimony and a reputation of kindness and love and compassion toward other people. And you might think to yourself, as some do, can I really be that gentle, tender, compassionate, kind person and still believe what's right, stand for what's right, never waver from what's right? Can I still be kind? My answer would be yes. And the reason I say that is because that's what our Savior was. That's who and what he was. That's who and what he still is. Do you know the Lord needs us to be kind? To be gracious? Oh, don't take it too far. I'm not talking about that icky, sticky, syrupy kind. I'm not talking about that. I think you know that. But to be kind and gracious, especially to those that maybe don't treat you the same way, you'll be a much better representation of your Savior than if you were to respond in kind. They want to be ugly? Let them be ugly. You can't help that. But you can help how you respond. And that's where kindness comes in. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone this morning. Kindness. The title this morning, I never did give you that, did I? Be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Heavenly Father, please help us to be kind, not just with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but especially with the unsaved. Many times in this world, people are only out for themselves, and they don't care who they have to run over, in other words, to get where they want to go. They don't care who they have to hurt. They don't care who they have to harm, because they're all in it for themselves. If we're going to practice kindness, that can't be our mindset. We have to be willing to extend kindness and grace and mercy towards those who maybe don't deserve it. But your word says that'll help us to be fruitful in our life for you. So help us to do that. And help us to remember that that's how you work with us. Help us to take the same measure of kindness that you extend to us and extend it to others. Bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.